The Coddle Popper Tale of Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. Chapter 1. Taking the Pea. This particular story, told under many a cherry tree while the smell of apple blossom fills the air, and with the snow melting underfoot, is all about our mostest special young coddle popper, who goes by the name of Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. Yes, sir, a mostest special coddle popper indeed. As special as all the other coddle poppers, in fact. This is just one of the stories within the captivating series of Fairywood storybooks. Yes, sir, most captivating indeed. I was thinking about this for quite some time, and for quite a while, but not for too long because, as you know, too much thinking makes your brain ache and your nose whistle. And I'm sure you don't want me to be telling you this story with a constant whistle going on in the background, or the foreground, depending on which ear you happen to be listening with at that particular time. Even if your good ear is now your bad ear, and your bad ear is now your left ear, it can still be somewhat discombobulating, especially if you've misplaced your spectacles, as that always seems to make hearing a bit harder. Yes, sir, most discombobulating indeed. After having gotten that straightened out without the use of an iron, I suppose the best place that this story really ought to start is all the way back at the beginning, rather than the middle or, need I say, even the end. How confusing would that be if I started at the end or the middle? If I started at the end or in the middle, you would be completely discombobulated and be in a state of kerfuffulation with all those coddle popper shenanigans, wouldn't you? And we would not want that, would we? No, sir, definitely not. For everyone's safety, and more importantly, their sanity. You would not want to lose your sanity, that's for sure. Take it for someone who most definitely, without any glimmer of doubt, knows. My sanity was lost a very, very long time ago. In fact, it was about the same time that I lost my marbles. So before I go too far with this story, and you're left scratching your head in puzzlement, or just because it itches, I shall let you know a factual fact about the coddle poppers. Yes, sir, an important factual fact indeed. And on the scale of factual facts, this one can be considered most important as well as being extremely factual. The proper full title for a coddle popper is North American coddle popper. And seeing as coddle poppers absolutely insist on always using their fullest of full names and nothing in between or at either end, I cannot answer why they just call themselves coddle poppers. A mysterious conundrum indeed. Yes, sir, even as mysterious conundrums go. And even if they're not mysterious and don't go anywhere, you never ever call a coddle popper by just his first or last name. No, sir, nor do you call him Mr. either, even if he happens to be a boy. It's considered poor etiquette to use anything other than the coddle popper's fullest of full names. Every single last one of them. And some coddle poppers have many names, very many names indeed. So the name they bestowed upon our Thomas Tipsy Tippleman cannot be shortened even by one single letter. No, sir, not one single one, or even a pair. Even if you needed a P for some personal reason, you could not take the P out of Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. No, sir, most definitely not. That would just be extremely rude and poor etiquette. And coddle poppers are extremely particular about their P's and even their Q's. Chapter 2. Money isn't everything. Because of his most important job, Thomas Tipsy Tippleman needs to make the most of all the sunshine hours that he can in order to perform his daily chores and his timely tasks in a timely manner and in a daily way. He does not waste a single ray of sunshine. No, sir. Not one, not ever, not never. And this is his very own story, which just happens to be all about him. Thomas Tipsy Tippleman just happens to be the official brewmaster to none other than the Cordle Popper King himself. But Thomas Tipsy Tippleman was not always called Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. No, sir. In fact, right up until when he went to work for the king, he was always known just simply as Thomas Tippleman. Not that he was simple at all. No, sir. No Cordle Popper could ever be called simple, because that would be an extremely silly name, and Cordle Poppers take their names extremely seriously. At school, he was Thomas Tippleman. When he was asleep and dreaming of playing in the Enchanted Forest, he was Thomas Tippleman. When he worked his apprenticeship in Fairy Wood, he was Thomas Tippleman. And when he got married to his wonderful bride, he was Thomas Tippleman. It was at his very own wedding that Thomas Tipsy Tippleman first met the Cordle Popper King himself. His new wife-to-be was one of the King's favourite advisors. So quite by chance, she'd invited the Cordle Popper King to attend the wedding as their very special guest. Yes, sir. Quite fortunate indeed, as it turned out. Very fortunate indeed. Thomas Tipsy Tippleman had learnt the old-fashioned art of winemaking whilst working his apprenticeship in the woods. He was always concocting different concoctions, flavours and recipes from the various mouldy mistletoe, mushrooms, dandelion, dangleberries and other secret special things that he found whilst going about his daily chores and timely tasks in the woods. Thomas Tipsy Tippleman was not a very rich Cordle Popper. No, sir, not at all. Money really has no value in the Cordle Popper's world. Their riches and values are found in kindness and love, and a Cordle Popper is valued by his integrity and kindness, which really is the way it should always be across all the lands. So Thomas Tipsy Tippleman had made a batch of his very own secret special Cordleberry wine to share with all of their wedding guests at their wedding reception. A tradition handed down from generation to generation in the Tippleman family household. It was only when they all made a toast to the bride and groom and washed down all the yummy chocolate custard, peanut butter and crusted toad boogers with frog dribble ice in wedding cake that the Cordle Popper King got to taste Thomas Tipsy Tippleman's soon to be very famous Cordleberry wine. Yes, sir. He certainly, without any doubt, did. In fact, the Cordle Popper King loved Thomas Tipsy Tippleman's homemade Cordleberry wine so very much that he toasted the happy couple again and again and again and again. Five glasses of homemade Cordleberry wine later, the by now very merry Cordle Popper King, with the brightest, rosiest, reddest glowing cheeks that had ever been seen before at any Cordle Popper wedding or any other occasion for that matter, made a toast to Thomas Tipsy Tippleman, his new royally blue magic. Chapter 3, A Cure for Hangovers. The poor Cordle Popper King would surely wake up the next morning with a right royal hangover, and poor Thomas Tipsy Tippleman would surely lose his newly appointed office as the Cordle Popper King's own personal royal appointed brewmaster title as quickly as what he'd received it. Yes, sir, lickety-split that quick. Quicker than a New Year's diet resolution disappears when there are leftovers on New Year's Day. That is, if the Cordle Popper King even remembered bestowing the honour on Thomas Tipsy Tippleman in the first place, or even the last place, as that's usually where you find things, in the very last place that you look. But it was not so. No, sir, as part of his secret special recipe, Thomas Tipsy Tippleman knew that by adding just three dandelion dangle parts in the fermentation stage and a frog's dribble just before the bottling stage, it would overcome the next morning's hangover, even a king-sized one. Yes, sir, the Cordle Popper King was in for a surprise of the pleasant variety. A very pleasant surprise indeed. Thomas Tipsy Tippleman really does take the utmost greatest pride in his work, and only he alone knows the very secret special ingredients in his very special Coralberry wine recipe. With secret magic potions that he collects himself from various hiding places in nooks and crannies around Fairy Wood. And some of the nooks and crannies don't even know they're hiding places. Imagine that! And so it is as it always has been, and always will be, and even to this very day. The Coral Popper King boasts to have the finest Coralberry wine in all the land, and is the envy of all the other neighbouring Coral Popper kingdoms far and wide. The Coral Popper King hosts many banquets, and is always asked what makes his Coralberry wine so very, very tasty. But if the truth was told, not even the Coral Popper King himself knows the real secret to Thomas Tipsy Tippleman's secret Coralberry wine recipe. No, sir, no idea at all. All that the Coral Popper King truly knows for sure is that Thomas Tipsy Tippleman uses various trees throughout the woods for the fermentation process. In fact, the Coral Popper King has also noticed that there appears to be a lot more trees in the woods being used for the fermentation process than what the Coral Popper King could possibly throw banquets. And the Coral Popper King is not shy in throwing banquets. No, sir. He throws them as though he's trying to get into the Coral Popper's Book of Remarkably Remarkable Worldly World Records. The Coral Popper King has also noticed that the more trees he finds being used for the fermentation process, the more rosy the cheeks get on our favourite royally appointed brewmaster, Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. Yes, sir, imagine that. Or you don't have to imagine that if you ever see Thomas Tipsy Tippleman, you'll notice the glow from his cheeks. They are as bright as a glowworm's bottom. And you know how bright a glowworm's bottom is? Or is it the top? Well, they're as bright as a glowworm's glowy bits, wherever they happen to be. You see, at each and every stage of the fermentation process, Thomas Tipsy Tippleman meticulously sips and checks, and checks and sips and sips and checks, each and every flavour, on each and every stage of each and every process of the fermentation of his very own special Coralberry wine. The nearer that the wine gets to being ready for bottling, the larger the sip that hits the lips of our Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. And that's not all. No, sir. The bottling stage also apparently requires constant monitoring and sampling, which is also undertaken by our Thomas Tipsy Tippleman and his meticulous method of sipping and checking to ensure that all the gases are released completely by the bottle and not by the consumer after consumption. A process that human men seem not to have mastered yet. Thomas Tipsy Tippleman does indeed take his job very seriously. But the larger the sip that Thomas Tipsy Tippleman takes, the more wobbly he becomes on his feet, and that's not all. No, sir. The more wobbly he gets on his feet, the more forgetful he becomes too. And the more forgetful that he becomes, the more he forgets his words. And then because he forgets his words, his voice goes all funny and his words come out all slurred. Such is the power of his magical magicalness and potent potency. If you keep a keen eye or an over-observant lazy eye, and concentrate on the mossy roots around the base of the largest fir trees in the woods, it's not uncommon now to see our Thomas Tipsy Tippleman sleeping off his latest wine tasting in the shade, which is all part of his daily duties as the King's own royal appointed brewmaster. After all, he is solely responsible for the taster checks for none other than the Coral Popper King himself. Yes, sir, an extremely important undertaking that requires his utmost tasting and checking at all stages, no matter how hard and tiring it may be. Poor Thomas Tipsy Tippleman, by the end of the day, he is quite wobbly, mostly forgetful, mainly pickled, but extremely jolly and glowing all the same. When he has scoured the land and found suitable trees for the fermentation process of his Coralberry wine, Thomas Tipsy Tippleman fills him full to popping of all the special and sometimes enchanted magical ingredients needed for the fermentation process. And then he sets the process into motion with all the love that he can muster. Yes, sir. As much love as a toad has for a boggle-eyed bog beetle with pink eye and a ripened spot ready to pop. And you know how special that is. Chapter 4. Plopper Volves. Just ask any coral popper worth their salt who served their apprenticeship in Fairywood. They'll all tell you exactly the same rule. Coralberry wine needs to breathe. So the bark of an ash tree has sufficient wrinkles in the bark to allow the magical properties of the wine to expand without causing the tree trunk to warp. Fir trees need to have a plopper valve. But the trouble with plopper valves is that it distracts the bat's radar when it's flying at night, or during the day if it happens to be dark. But plopper valves cause the bats to fly all erratic, up and down, in and out, and sometimes even upside down and inside out. You just try finding your way through the woods when you're upside down and inside out. Yes, sir. That's some way to try to fly, isn't it? I can't even walk upside down and inside out, and believe you me, I've given it my best shot on more than one occasion after tasting some of Thomas Tipsy Tippleman's Coralberry wine. You see, plopper valves make it impossible for the bats to fly in a straight line. Just hang around for the evening when all the bats come out, and you'll see it for yourself with your very own eyes. None of the bats fly in a straight line. And that's all the fault of Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. Yes, sir. Thomas Tipsy Tippleman has muddle-fuddled with the bat's radar and discombobulated the combobulation process of the bats. Every single one of them, and even the married ones too. Coral poppers have always used the ash tree for fermenting the magic, concocting the concoctions and empowering the potion, a process they've performed meticulously since time began. Or at least when dumbfounded Derek happened upon a discarded working timepiece that told the time in the woods. Yes, sir, you could say it was even before mountains stood still and Wednesdays were back to being in the middle of the week again. Ash trees were used for fermentation. Yes, sir, really, it was definitely as long ago as that. That's the way it was, that's the way it is, and that's the way it always should be. No, sir, you should never, ever, not once mess with the natural processing abilities of the fermentation in a tree. No way, not ever, not never. That's most certainly, definitely, for absolutely sure. The bats are such valuable little friends to have in the woods. It's the bats who keep down the pesky black fly and mosquito population. No one in the woods likes the mosquito or the black fly, despite trying their very best to be friends. Because the mosquito and black fly are also very selfish and do not share anything with the other woodland creatures. Even if the black fly and mosquito cannot eat all the food themselves, they would rather spoil what's left over than allow anyone else to share a meal with them too. No, sir, they're not very friendly critters, not very friendly critters at all. But oh no, Thomas Tipsy Tippleman always knows best when it comes to concocting coralberry wine, or so he believes. His coralberry wine has to be fermented in a fir tree because it's part of his secret special recipe. The real truth is that Thomas Tipsy Tippleman always forgets to put in a plopper valve. Yes, sir. Probably through too much testing and tasting, the plopper valve becomes a long-forgotten and distant memory for Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. Even to the untrained eye of a Natterjack Doblin or an Ujima Flip-Toe with extra chin whiskers on a Wednesday, everyone who is anyone and someone who lives in the woods all know which of the fir trees Thomas Tipsy Tippleman has used for the fermentation of the magical process. Yes, sir, they most certainly do. Centuries upon centuries of scientific studies have all concluded that the fir tree does not have enough stretch in its bark, So the poor fir tree ends up bulging bigger and bigger and bigger until its trunk looks like Father Christmas's belly after he's delivered all the gifts and eaten all the mince pies, cookies and candies on Christmas Day. And poor Mrs. Christmas has had to put another extra hole in his belt. Yes, sir, as big and as round as that. Every other caudal popper, and even the ones in between who work in fairy wood, always uses a plopper valve on a fir tree, and they only ever use a fir tree as a very last resort if there aren't any ash trees left and they're out of all other options and choices. Then, and only then, will they use the fir tree. Chapter 5. Fungal Crunch Bark Clippings. Thomas Tipsy Tippleman absolutely insists that the reason he leaves off, more like forgets the plopper valve, is for the benefit of the bats. All the woodland creatures know that the caudal popper king loves the bats, because the pesky black fly spoils so much of his favourite food, fungal crunch bark clippings. And if you've ever had the honour bestowed upon you and tried fungal crunch bark clippings, you'd know where the caudal popper king is coming from. Fungal crunch bark clippings are easily as tasty as dry roasted hoof shavings, and even tastier than deep fried toad boogers. Yes, sir. And you know how delicious deep fried toad boogers are? Oh, yum. Kids eat them willingly, and they don't even come with a toy. Yes, sir, they're that good. You see, in the time before the bats arrived at Once Upon a Time, there was only enough fungal crunch bark clippings for the caudal popper king to have his favourite treat just once a month at best, or at worst, once every 4 weeks. Especially by the time that those pesky black fly and mosquito had finished eating and spoiling any tasty morsels that were left. But now, since the bats' arrival, they've chomped and munched and crunched their way through the pesky black fly and mosquito population most heartily. And that's as heartily as our Thomas Tipsy Tippleman tastes his special caudal berry wine. And we all know how much Thomas Tipsy Tippleman loves his work. Yes, sir, he most certainly does. In fact, if we all loved our work as much as Thomas Tipsy Tippleman does, so much work would get done that Wednesdays would need to be moved from the middle of the week and put back to where it used to be. Yes, sir, which was somewhere between Tuesday and Thursday, or some days beginning with a T and ending in a Y, wherever that might have been. This now means that the caudal popper king gets to have his fungal crunch bark clippings every Sunday lunchtime, just after 11, but always before 1, because you never ever eat fungal crunch bark clippings after 1 o'clock. No, sir. Not since the incident with Farquhar Doodle Fudge's Tootie Gas episode, but that's another story for another day, and then only if you promise not to make a stink when you hear it. The caudal popper king sure does love his fungal crunch bark clippings, and the caudal popper king loves his bats too. We all love the bats at Once Upon a Time, and we all love Thomas Tipsy Tippleman too. And so has been decreed by every caudal popper king to this very day, that should anyone wish to make a bat box and hang it in the woods at Once Upon a Time for all the bats to share, the caudal popper king will personally grant him one lucky caudal popper wish. Yes, sir. How cool is that? Well, what a wild and wacky ride that was into the wonderful world of fairy wood, and witnessing the magical life of Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. A most lovable tale about being good at what you enjoy doing. Because when you're good at what you enjoy and enjoy what you're good at, then what's not to enjoy about being good at the things that you're good at? Yes, sir. Especially when you're that good and enjoy them. We now know not to take the pee, that money isn't everything. There is a cure for hangovers, the intricacies of plopper valves, and the delicious delicacy of fungal crunch bark clippings. Thank you, Thomas Tipsy Tippleman. You make fairy wood a really special place, and may the angels and fairies be with you always. In our next storybook, titled The Tree of Wishes, we learn all about a twinkle popper, and an apprentice wish-granting fairy in training. We get taught the responsibilities of making wishes, how to make wishes for humans, to give to receive, the attitude of gratitude, and how one good deed always deserves another. There's even a free invitation to Fairywood for a visit. How remarkable and exciting is that? Until next time, be good, keep smiling, and together we'll change the world one act of kindness at a time. If you'd like to see where the tale of Thomas Tipsy Tippleman really happened, then please visit our website at fairywood.com.